When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello.
I don't like it when you just kind of look and stare at me like
a golden retriever.
Yes.
Y'all,
like its head has just never had a fully formed idea in it. Like a golden retriever looks at you brainlessly.
True.
I went off on golden retrievers before.
You did. I was waiting for Poodle to get ready, and I was just sitting here looking at him thinking how lucky I am to live in the pretty sunshine and to do this for a living and have fun to do this and do this with Poodle. And Poodle looks up and goes, "What? Stop looking at me." That's every day with us, y'all.
What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Yeah, y'all, if you look at me all of a sudden, and even if you're dating me, I'm like, what? Got something in my face.
Who else does that?
What are you looking for?
Who else does that in your face?
Mother Poodle.
Yeah, there you go. Y'all, this is F-Boy Island.
There's a reason why you like Mother Poodle is a kind of a more extreme version of me.
Yeah, that's actually fair and more extreme than Poodle, y'all.
She's a lot,
but she's just as lovable.
She is,
and she can cook just as good.
I'm a better cook than she is.
We got to move on, y'all.
She'll never hear it because she'll never find
a podcast.
She heard
you say that. Well, I guess I'm not going to make biscuits for you again.
You know what? She'd probably say, well, maybe you're right. I just did the best I could. Well, I did the best I could with the cards I was dealt.
Yeah. Cool. You ate it. Must have done something right.
That's like when she would say, dinner's ready. Eat it fine if you don't fine.
Y'all, Fuckboy Island, Season 1, Episode 6, How Sarah Got Her Groove Back.
How Sarah Got Her Groove Back.
This was aptly titled.
She
kind of did.
She did, yeah.
She really did. Ooh. Y'all, okay, so last week, everybody had to reveal their status, and Nikia's...
Did you turn the mic up?
No, it does sound more, but I didn't touch anything.
It's very loud.
Well, they had to reveal their status.
Thank you for validating.
I'm just going to keep going. Just going to keep going.
I do that with you. Have you ever noticed sometimes when you'll be talking about something, and like, and then what happens is...
Yep, I do. I do notice. That's where I got it from. That's what happened. As Poodle used to tell me, you let people walk all over you. You need to stand up to people. Stand your ground.
And now she does it, and I don't like it. I don't like it as much when it's done to me. I did. I will take credit for that with you.
You did. You helped me a lot. You did.
Yo, she'd be a fucking doormat.
No, you were great. You and my friend Nicholas helped me very, very much. And Kyle, my partner. Well, so anyway, y'all. So my decision, because of my friends, got my decision making about people around me got better. Not Nakia, because we're waiting to see what's the status of OG Jared that Nakia's into. And Poodle, is he a fuckboy or is he a nice guy?
Well, we both pegged OG Jared as a nice guy.
Yes.
Well, I actually pegged him as a FOD, otherwise known as a friend of Dorothy.
Friend of Dorothy? Yeah.
Was an acceptable choice.
I thought he was a nice guy who overcompensated because he's a homosexual.
Yeah.
Were we right or were we wrong?
We were wrong. He was a fuckboy.
He's a fuckboy, y'all.
I was wrong.
He's a fuckboy. And Nikki is like, wow, I'm disappointed. I really am, because now I'm thinking with all these boys, are they just sweet talking me? Yes, yes. Nakia. Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Every time Nakia asks a question, y'all, the universe answers back, yes, you yes. bitch.
Yes, girl.
Yes, dumbass.
We've been knocking. So we find out, y'all, there's not going to be an elimination this week.
Yep.
Nikki says, nope. Oh, go home and sit in your shit.
I think this was a smart move because
Agreed.
Now they all know. Now, did you notice now that the three men who Nakia has really seen herself with, all of them are fuckboys.
All of them are fuckboys. So, and this is a problem with having too many guys, y'all. We're in episode 6. There's only 4 more episodes left.
There's 10 guys. There's, I think, aren't there?
I think. But she hasn't developed a connection with any other guys there except for these
right.
three guys.
There's also people like Welcome who are there, who's like, what the fuck?
Welcome, welcome. You're oh so nice to see. Da, 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 da. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Gay DD. Y'all, that's a show we used to sing for TVT time.
Yeah, then stopped paying us and we didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, pretty much what happened. You know what? They were owned by the Redstones. They had the money. They should have given it up.
Tea. Yeah. We are spilling the tea.
Yeah, they should have given it. Anyway, y'all.
Sumner could fork over a little.
Yeah, missed that boat, didn't you, Poodle?
I could have been Mrs. Sumner Redstone. We said that in an ad. If you're
I enjoyed
to that.
It. So, y'all, so they're all going back. And so Nikki is talking to the girls, and they're like, and Nikki says, well, how are you feeling? I'm sorry. They all go back, and then next day we see Nikki is playing therapist again
we're in limbo.
To Casey. Casey's laying there, and she's like, how are you feeling? Do you still have feelings for CJ? And
yes.
This is where Casey says, yes.
We're the same person.
We are the same person. I use deflection, and I walk all over people to control them.
Right.
And that's what she does, too.
So,
and I agree with him, because I think, like we said, he saw her game because he plays the same game.
Yeah.
And I do stand by. I really do think he called her on it because he knew that she would push him away, because I think he's a total fuckboy. I want to believe that he was starting to have feelings for her.
I really believe that.
And he used that because he knew she would push him away because he can't. Because I do think he can't. He wants to self-sabotage himself because he can't get close to her because it's just too hard for him.
But let me ask you, what would be the motivation if she knew he would do that?
I know we're thinking, well, if he's a fuckboy, he wants $100,000. However, people who are not, who can't get authentic, often will shoot themselves in the foot before they...
I understand, but he would have planned for that because he's not dumb.
No.
He would have said, oh, she's going to kick me off the show.
Yes.
So my thing was, that's why I thought that was an actual attempt to make a big game move on his point, and he just miscalculated grievously.
Yeah, I can see that too. Yeah.
I think he does have feelings for her.
I don't know yet.
And here's the thing, you guys.
He tells Nikki, I can't believe him.
This is, if you've never read Hero with a Thousand Faces or know anything about the hero's journey, Casey, you said this. Casey was known as the hero of this show from moment one, whether we like him or we hate him.
Yeah.
That's the storytelling, what the story is telling. This is a part of the hero's journey now where the hero realizes that what he thought was real isn't real, and then he changes. And that's what this stupid little therapy section
is actually
very
intentional.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's how we navigate in reality shows, you guys, these little moments. If you've never read The Hero of a Thousand Faces, it'll blow your mind. Joseph Campbell. You've read it, right?
I haven't.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Is it fiction, nonfiction?
It is nonfiction.
Oh.
It's about the hero's journey and how even things like everything is made of myth. Star Wars goes all the way back to Epic of Gilgamesh.
Yes.
Goes back to Beowulf, all that stuff. No one gives a shit about any of this, but it's fascinating. Hero with a Thousand Faces.
Does he talk about Jesus?
Yes, the Bible is in it too.
I think I remember because I remember that book because some people in Oklahoma were upset about it. He said Jesus was a myth. He's not a myth.
Well, there's lots of other books that basically are clarifying his
opinion.
I'm
not saying it's not, but don't come for me about Jesus. I'm just saying how I remember hearing about it.
Well, that Jesus is definitely a mythic figure. Yes.
Yeah, that's not saying he's not real, y'all. We're not saying
well,
that.
Well, they think Jesus was most likely a real person.
Yeah, they think Jesus was a real person. So, anyway, we're getting to a sticky area and we need to move on.
How did I get to talking about myth and meaning?
I don't know.
Y'all, that's what Fuckboy Island does for us.
True.
I never thought I'd be talking about Joseph Campbell and you piercing the toast.
Sorry.
On a reality show podcast.
I almost dropped my iPad.
So, anyway, you know you can do it without the case and hold it.
And that's how I almost dropped it, so I'm going to put it on the case.
Who cares? God.
Exactly. You brought it up.
So, where were we? Oh. Casey says, for the first time in my life, I miss and I regret leaving this girl. Again,
I miss her a lot.
This is the language we need to start to root for him. And I know there are people out there who don't. I'm believing what the show's telling me.
All right.
I choose to. Yeah.
All right.
Even though I think it's a little far-fetched. But.
We'll see. But.
But you have to admit, though, the producers saw their chemistry.
Oh, as a producer. Yeah. And so now Nakia, y'all, she's realizing, holy shit, I got a bad picker. Whoa. Whoa.
At this point, if I was her, I'd just gone home.
Yeah, I would have been like, bye. Y'all, I'm leaving. And so she doesn't know if OG Jared is sweet talking to her.
Even though... She's like, I'm not sure if he's saying I was falling in love with you. And then she finds out he's a fuckboy.
But also, he doesn't know she's sweet talking to y'all because OG Jared last episode said, I'm falling in love with you.
Right.
And even new Jared and all the guys are like, he's just trying to sell himself.
Yeah.
Like,
even the fuckboys are saying it's a problem.
Yeah.
So, you guys, ladies.
Because they said that OG Jared said before, he came to win the money. So now OG Jared says, I came to win the money, but now I've changed my mind.
We haven't seen that on camera.
We haven't.
That's what the Ben said.
But Greg and Garrett and Fernando, they're all like, come on. And he's like, that's the biggest F-boy move. When you see yourself, you're blocked in and you're floundering, you
say, I love you.
You say, I love you. Been there, done that, bang some women.
Boy, that's real.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, not you. No, you never
maybe
really.
I've
banged
been told.
Women.
Maybe I've been told that. You know, it wasn't even I love you. It's they remembered my name. I was that easy,
and that was enough. Oh my God!
They
have feelings for me.
You didn't call me Thomas again. Fuck me.
It's okay that they never text me back.
Oh.
So
CJ is just like, okay, CJ. So CJ's kind of like, I'm over Chris. It's like, he sold out the nice guys. So I was like, girl, you're not over Chris. You knew he was an F-boy to begin with and you used
Casey,
him.
Casey, you mean?
No, CJ says, I'm so over Chris.
Oh, Chris. Okay.
And I'm like, cause she found out he was a fuckboy. I'm like, girl, you knew he was a fuckboy. That's why you used him.
I don't buy any of that.
Yeah, I don't buy any of that.
So y'all, they're looking at socials.
This was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, but...
Nikki gives them a gift, a computer, and they're looking on everyone's Instagram.
Sarah is gleaning a lot of information about Garrett. She's seeing all this. And Sarah's looking... They look at Josh's. Everyone's kind of learning a lot, except for Nakia, who looks at... I think it's old OG Jared or new Jared. And he's like, yeah, I'm kind of proud he doesn't have any, like, raunchy pics on there. That's all she can say. Even though she knows they're all fuckboys.
Meanwhile, they're looking at Instagram. We'll talk more about that. But Chris admits to the guys that he was the mole.
Yep.
And Colin's like, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he sold us out like that. And Chris is like, boy, I'm not proud of it, but I was playing a game.
Isn't Colin the poster child for getting angry at people for doing the same thing he would do? His righteous indignation makes me exhausted.
Yeah, he's pretty full of it.
He's a dick.
Well, even later when he has that whole fight with OG Jared to provoke him.
I don't want to talk about it. It pissed me off so bad.
He was really pretty horrible to him.
My chest got tight because they were You actually saw someone taunting someone to have an emotional reaction.
Yeah.
Just because they could.
Just because they could.
And that was so gross to see.
Save it! We're going to talk about it in a minute.
Fine!
Because first we got to talk, y'all, the big thing that came out of the social media, Garrett didn't end up looking so good.
Garrett, well, here's the thing. There was a video of a girl with Garrett.
A recent post. We don't know how recent, but not far off.
I love you.
It says, I love you. And then there's like professional photography of him spinning her on the beach, her straddling in his arms, and them making out.
It's not good.
This isn't the type of thing you have of a fuck buddy, y'all. This is someone you're dating.
Yeah, I don't even let my fuck buddies don't even have last names on my phone.
No. Poodle doesn't even let him take off the puppy mask.
Bark like a dog.
So anyway, Sarah's like, and it says, happy birthday, my love.
Yeah.
Sarah's like, this is a real relationship. Yeah.
So anyway, we have CJ with new Jared. And they're like looking at the sky, and he says, do you believe in astronomy? I mean, astrology. One is a science.
I do like him more now that he's a nice guy. He doesn't treat the other guys well, but now that I know he's a nice guy, I am much more attracted to him.
I think he's another dick. Everything.
There's something about it that tells me he is, only because I think he would fuck me dirty. And I mean, literally, the fucking of me would be a little dirty, which is. So I kind of feel like, wait a minute, is he my unicorn? Is he my nice guy who spits on me?
The thing is, he is the most common of all men. He's the dickish guy with not a lot underneath.
Yeah, I don't think he's a brainiac.
No. It's not even that. Not even personality. Not even ideas. Not even curiosity.
Yeah.
It's all of that.
I just want to say, I don't know how Nakia can trust OG Jared, somebody who wears that many rings on their finger. Did you notice he had like rings on the bottom and then on the ends of his fingers? He looks like he was going into an Egyptian tomb.
He is an absolute mess of a human being.
He's just extra.
I am so confused by everything I'm seeing.
He doesn't know who he is at all.
No. You know, that's what distresses me the most about him.
Well, that's our trigger, is we live through that, of not living who you really are. Whether he's gay or not, we feel like it is, but maybe we're missing something else.
He's finding, he could be sexually fluid, but know this, his self-conception is all a pose. We're not seeing the real OG Jared at all.
Yeah. So y'all, they're all sitting there kind of talking, and Garrett's like, yeah, him saying he was in love seemed like an act of desperation.
He's like, trust me, I've done it.
So the ladies come up, they're sitting there, and they're just kind of talking, and then Sarah just says, so earlier today, everybody, we did a deep dive on everybody's social media.
They all went, ooh.
Y'all, they cut to Garrett, and you actually saw the color drain from his face.
Like it's kind of fun to watch.
It is beautiful to watch. And she looks and she said, so Garrett, yeah, everything that everybody said was true. We saw it on your social media. So you can either pack your shit and go home now, or you can get your girlfriend on the phone on a FaceTime call, and we can talk to her face to face.
I screamed.
I went,
yeah! I'm so proud for her.
Standing O for Sarah.
But I got to say, too, it was done.
And then she followed it and said, I'm not talking to you until one of those things happens.
And it was done in a matter-of-fact way that wasn't meant to be undermining.
It was like your parent when you can't argue with your parent.
And it said, these are what's going to happen. And it wasn't emotional.
It wasn't, you're a piece of shit. I hate you. It was just like, hey. If you want to sort this out, this is what we need.
And she didn't try to demean him or insult him or insult his masculinity.
No.
Yeah.
Garrett tries to talk. Oh. And she's like, nope.
Chef's kiss, Sarah. She's well done.
He even follows her and she said, you know, I don't want to have this conversation with my ex. And she's like, well, pack shit. This is it.
And let me tell you guys. This is why this is a power move. The reason why this is done, she has said what her boundaries were, and she says these are the two things that will happen, or you're gone.
And yeah, she says these are the consequences for your actions.
And she says
we're not talking about this anymore.
And she says this without emotion, and it's very important because otherwise, when people are in this, they only hear, if you resort to emotion, they're only going to hear the emotion.
Yeah,
that's so hear that if. If you need to tell something very important,
yeah,
just resolve with yourself to say, I'm going to say this so matter-of-factly, and this is not an arguing point. I'm not going to try to get in personal digs with people.
No.
This is all about me telling you what my boundaries are,
yep,
without trying to make you feel small.
Yep.
This is what's going to happen for me.
For me!
For me! Mr. Goldstone.
It was...
I'm so proud of her this episode.
It was great. So there is this part with CJ where she says, you know, she's talking to New Jared. She said, you look like a dickhead. I just didn't believe it.
I agree with her.
And I've got to kind of process this. And Jared said, you're judging. And he said, I judge.
She's like, yeah, that's the show we're on.
And she said, but the thing why I kind of like them together, because she says, I have no choice to judge you. And he comes back and says, I'm judging you a little bit too.
He's a fake. I can see it a mile away.
I think there's something too, but there is something I do kind of, they'll never work out.
They also have no chemistry.
They don't have a lot of chemistry because I don't think they have chemistry because she doesn't know. CJ lives to play the game. When she dates. And I don't think Jared, she doesn't know how to be with him.
And she's kind of flirted with other guys before.
It's the same thing with Sean, where it's just different, where Sean is such a nice guy and kind of slow. She's like, I don't know what to do with you. You're almost too nice. I feel like I'm going to break you. And with new Jared, it's almost like, you tell me. You look like you're bad. You act like you're bad. So then I want to do bad things with you.
Right.
But then you tell me you're a nice guy. So then shame and
guilt and
weird things.
It scrambles all her behaviors.
She says, and that's where she says she worries about him judging her.
Yeah.
Because if he's a nice, so it's this weird, this show does a weird thing of we're putting this morality on nice guy versus bad guy, and that you can't do bad things with a nice guy because then you're a whore.
Yeah.
Which is not true, but it does put that out there.
Are you calling me a whore? But you're exactly right. I think they could have a shot at it if they had physical chemistry, because I think he would be good for her.
Maybe they'll develop it.
That's really hard to do. You and I both know that. You know how many dates I've been on with nice guys or people who I haven't had immediate chemistry with?
Yeah, if I don't want to rip your clothes off in the first 10 seconds, it usually doesn't work.
It's not even that. It's chemistry is something that's real. That's why they use a word like chemistry. It is elemental.
Yeah.
It's really hard to define it. And it's not even sometimes about ripping someone's clothes off, although usually it is, for me anyway. But you know upon first meeting someone, and
it's that wanting to know more, wanting to touch more.
Wanting to be wanted. That's what it is. That's all I'll do. I've already sung that enough.
We noted.
I don't
have anything to stand on for this. So, okay.
There's an anvil falling on the sky from you.
All right, so let's talk about
Nakia and OG Jared.
Nakia says, what have you done? What do you do to hurt women? And OG says,
these are good questions.
Yes, and he says, well, feel like we're starting to make a great connection with them, and then I suck a dick. I withdraw.
And then she kind of gives him a little bit of feedback. And then
she says, are you over that? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, good.
And then he's saying things like, she's like, I just don't know who you're being right now. Again, she's so in her own head. She takes other people's views of the situation as more important than hers.
Than hers.
And she's like, she's like, I just don't know if you're being real with me. And he says, almost, he takes it as an offense. He says, can't you see how vulnerable I am being right for you right now? I'm giving you so much of myself right now.
Yeah, y'all, he's self-involved big time.
If you hear the word, like, can't you see how much I'm doing for you?
Y'all, leave that relationship immediately.
Can't you see the lengths that I'm going to?
Unless you're a narcissist and taking advantage of someone, and they're like, don't you see what I'm, that, but they're never going to say that.
No, but this this concept of honestly saying, I can't believe you can't see how much I'm doing for you right now. Because you're shaming that person so much.
Yeah, we are.
And so she, the next thing is Colin is over there saying, boy, I wish I just thought of to say I love you first. And
and
y'all, OG Jared's saying, like, I just know we're going to date after this.
I'm falling
for you.
Y'all, cut to the next day.
Did you notice how when they were kissing, he was grabbing her head?
Yeah.
Y'all, he creeps me out.
Creeps me out, too. In fact, I'm going to go wash my mouth out with mouthwash. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off
plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Ooh! Don't do that on the mic.
Well, I just said that we're talking about mouth washing my mouth out. It was a callback, Poodle. It's comedy.
I know.
I'm glad you ruined it.
You just screamed, it's comedy. That's comedy.
That's comedy. Okay, y'all.
You get a whoopee cushion, a rubber ducky, and a knock-knock joke. That's comedy.
So, okay, we've got the next day. The ladies are, they're going up and talk to the guys while they're working out.
Did you know, just one funny thing.
Yes.
That Jared was sitting there, OG Jared was sitting there writing, and Welcome and Jomar were doing, Dear Diary.
Oh, yeah.
I had 16 eggs and 18 pieces of bacon together, had the pump of my lifetime, and I think I'm falling in love.
It made me laugh pretty hard. I was like, okay, welcome.
Dear Diary.
Dear Diary.
I would fuck Welcome. Oh, my God.
Now that you know he's an F-boy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you thought he was a nice guy, you
nope.
were into him at
wasn't
all.
It.
But now that you know, and you saw his Instagram pictures and him talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Like the Kool-Aid man.
Ooh, yeah. So, y'all, Sarah says, she goes up to Josh. She said, Josh, I wanted to know if you want to go on a date. He says, yes. So Garrett, again, is like, okay, but when are we going to FaceTime? And she said, okay, I'm excited you're willing to do that. He's like, I'm ready to do it. She's like, he's like that kid when your parent says, I'm going to punish you later. And you keep asking your mom, when are you going to do it? When are you going to? It's
yep.
the agony. He just can't stand it.
Or it's my nephew, my sister-in-law going, we're leaving. I'm putting on my shoes.
How exhausted were you just waiting for your nephews to put on their shoes?
Oh my God. Getting ready to go somewhere? There's three of them, you guys. I have two nephews and a niece. Getting ready to go. None of these children have any urgency at all. Zero. They all forget within 5 seconds of you telling them to do something. I kept saying, put on your shoes and socks. We're going. Putting this on, I said, put on your shoes. The only way to get them to do anything is to threaten them.
Welcome to my world as being your friend.
Anyway, that's why it takes me when I'm trying to get my niece and nephew to go to a movie or to go with grocery or anything when I'm watching them. It takes a good 45 minutes, mostly because my brother and sister-in-law, I think, just get distracted. They're doing their own thing.
They're tired.
They're very tired. They have three children under 9 years old. Yeah. Good luck.
Someone just driving along went, fuck.
And the youngest one.
Because they lived it.
And the youngest one, as my mother said, I don't know what they're going to do with him. Can't teach him anything. He's too wild. Because he just started kindergarten.
Welcome to my world as your friend.
Yep.
I think he's the most like you, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He was excited to go to kindergarten. He's 4-year-old kindergarten. He was excited to go to kindergarten. And he came home and said, yeah, I like most of the people in my class, but they're dumb. I said that too.
Wow.
Kind of said that every year I went to school.
Didn't go well when he's in grad school, y'all.
Didn't go good.
Didn't go good. Y'all are stupid.
So
Sarah, she's like, okay, Garrett, we can talk later. CJ picks Sean, and they're going to, or she said, I've spent a lot of time with Sean. So she said, I'm going to spend time with new Jared.
Uh-huh.
So new Jared said something I thought was interesting. He said, that's the deal with CJ. He said, everyone takes her too seriously. And so that is what's fascinating to me about new Jared, whereas Casey is a lot like CJ, but he does take everything she says so seriously.
Yeah.
New Jared is almost like, I used to be CJ. Like, I know the game, and I'm not taking any of this serious. So it makes you wonder, are you interested in her, or are you just not taking this seriously, and you're just here for the ride?
I think new Jared has no self-conception. I don't think there's a lot to him.
I need more info.
I think that he came in acting like a big dog because he thought he was a game player from the beginning. And he even said, I'm an alpha, you're an alpha. He literally, that's his personality.
Yeah.
And I think that he's so fucking goal-oriented. Because he's an athlete. It says international athlete, which means he probably plays football overseas.
I forgot about that.
Wow,
I'm really into him now. Ooh. Y'all, I would be the best footballer's wife. I would be
you scored that goal, honey.
Yay, honey. Yay, honey.
Kick a touchdown.
Tandy, I'll pick up the kids tomorrow in carpool. Yeah, you know. Honey, I know. He's always going to cheat. I'm here for you.
So she says that when new Jared is with me, he's very soft. When he's with the other boys, he's peacocking. And that should be a red flag.
It should be a red flag. But I think it intrigues CJ because if he was all nice, she would be bored.
Yep.
But she sees that like, what's your damage?
This is not a good guy. New Jared does not have a lot of empathy.
So now she says
he's empathy deprived, actually.
And she's like, I'm going to make an effort now that I know that he has the potential. And see, they sit down and CJ says, do I make you nervous?
It's still a game for her.
And he
still a game.
Comes back and he plays into it. He's like, actually, yeah, you do a little bit. He said, but I guess a lot of guys are scared to talk
to you.
They
don't know. Like, a lot of guys are trying to put you in a box. And she's, again, not being real. She's like, my box is wide open.
But no, she's testing that. And like she even says, I feel like you're kind of a handful and I'm a handful. And
see, I don't even think that's real, though.
No.
It feels like she's trying to get ahead of a plot point. She's convinced herself either with Sean or that's the thing. She's not been the same since she kicked out Casey.
No, not.
And you guys, she's kind of broken on the inside. She's just not letting you see it.
No, yeah, it's a total rebound thing. And she says, you know, the truth is he's kind of a great guy, but the way you said, y'all, you don't talk about somebody you like.
Kind of a great guy.
Anyway, let's talk about Sarah and Josh. So Sarah and Josh.
I didn't write anything. It was so boring.
It's so boring, but they're also kind of in the game, I think, at this point.
I actually think they're the one, they could wind up being together.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So Sarah said, however, they're on this date. Sarah just talks about Garrett.
I know.
And all the shit with him the whole entire. And I wrote, Sarah, what are you? You just went three steps forward.
She's being that girl.
Don't be that girl,
Sarah. Opposite the track.
We've all, you know, when you're, I've been on that date where a guy just starts, I don't ask, but someone talks about an ex and then starts bringing them up. And I'm, check, please. Even I knew that.
Yeah, it's never going to be. My, unless they ask, you, sometimes people, on gay dates, y'all, on gay first dates, sometimes the question is, I try to avoid it because it's so pat, is, do your parents know you're out? Did this happen? But it's like, it's kind of an important thing.
It is.
For some people.
You know, it is.
But I just don't want to have those first date questions that are the same. But oftentimes the first date is something, they mention their ex when they blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, yeah, I'm still living with them, which has happened to me three times.
With their ex?
Yeah.
And they're on a date with you?
Yeah. They're broken up.
That doesn't define, this doesn't happen to people normally. You need to vet more.
Well, they tell me it
Why
later.
Why is there a fruit fly in here? I feel like it's just calling me gay.
Faggot. Hey there, gay boy. I'm a fruit fly calling you gay. Take that. See, you wouldn't want to be you.
Just landed on my iPad. So, okay. So, that's Sarah and Josh. Even Josh is like, what the fuck? Meanwhile, Nakia and OG Jared.
Why are we still circling the drain?
Nakia's so dumb. She's like, are you the type of person that, do you get in deep quickly? Because the fact that you told me you love me, that seems pretty fast.
He's going to tell you everything you want to hear.
No, this, y'all, she says, he told me he loved me. That seemed pretty fast. But I don't want it to put a timeline on someone.
God.
You're, honey, you need to be single for 5 years.
I wrote down the, I don't even know what I wrote here.
I don't.
There's something, she's like,
she said, you're really good with talking. And I don't know if you're lying or not. There's something about you. I just don't know if you're lying or not.
And I will say, if you are, if OG Jared was kind of being super upfront with her, Nakia's kind of like constant verbal diarrhea of what she's thinking. I don't know if you're lying or not. Would piss anyone off.
And it's, yes, and so dumb because she tells every
She's F-boy telegraphing she's every move.
She does not even telegraphing. She's fucking writing the report and giving it to them.
She's skywriting it.
Yes, it's not telegraphing.
Surrender, Dorothy!
Which shows some type of subtlety because they're able, y'all, she is giving to them, this is a very niche reference, she is giving them the sheet music to play her like a fiddle.
Yes.
There you go. How,
that was very niche.
Well, some people might know what sheet music is.
I don't think it's hard to infer what it is.
Well, they might not know.
Carl, oh, what God. Is sheet music? I don't understand. Is that? It's like, is that stuff you play in bed when you're on sheets?
On my player piano.
Is that sex music for sheets?
So, Garrett and Sarah, y'all.
Shooter, go get those sheets I got from Walmart. Let me see if they say sheet music on them.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, Garrett and Sarah, they're FaceTiming his ex. So, she shows up. Her name's Lauren. She's a beautiful girl.
She is beautiful, but her lips are
Yeah, her lips
so
are huge.
Huge.
Very big. Very big. Not natural.
Y'all, she was very excited to go do this on TV.
Oh, yeah.
She called. Listen, Jose,
she's British, though.
You've got to fit me in for a haircut, and I need some more lip filler because I'm going to be on a Skype call.
Skype call.
So yeah, she basically, so Sarah's kind of like, thank you for doing this. I know this is weird. And she's like, so were you broken up at all?
She says, are you in a relationship with him first?
And she says,
and
no.
And she's like, no.
But she is kind of slow to answer.
I think it's the delay. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that was why they thought she was being evasive, when I thought it was just, it might have just been the Skype delay.
Maybe, but I thought there was a little bit of evasive. Garrett says, meanwhile, y'all, Nakia and CJ are watching upstairs, the whole thing.
Yep.
And Garrett says, do you think I'm ready for another relationship?
Like, I don't know if you are.
And she's like, is Garrett someone I can trust? And she goes,
yeah.
It just seemed very, but then Garrett starts getting upset. He's like, these questions are invasive of my privacy.
And
I told
leaves.
This person, he leaves. And then that's when Lauren kind of says, he's a really multifaceted person. I can't say a bad word about him. And CJ says this, and I kind of agree.
I'm going to take issue with you. Go ahead.
CJ says, her tone, it sounds like they are in cahoots.
So why would he get upset at what she was saying if they were in cahoots?
This guy was gross at the beginning. This guy has been overtly manipulative.
No, I agree, but why do you think they're in cahoots?
There's just something that seemed false about the way she was
answering. I agree, because she was on television and didn't want to talk shit about her ex.
Maybe that's, but there was like, it was a way, so I don't know. So I guess I agree with not that necessarily they're in cahoots, because how could they be in cahoots?
No, they're.
But I do agree, I agree with CJ. There's something with her tone. I didn't trust her.
I agree you shouldn't trust her. I don't think they're working together.
I don't think
because
that.
Because he did not want that.
Yes. But do I think him leaving the room and coming back in and crying about how hard this is for him was not manipulative?
I think it was 100%. Manipulative, but...
Or is...
It's really hard to cry on cue like that.
For some people, it's not.
I feel
maybe
like...
Maybe he went outside and thought about his dog dying.
But the storytelling that we've been going with Garrett, we've seen a lot less of the bragging about fuckboy stuff.
We have.
And a lot more of the, I'm feeling it for Sarah.
So they could be manipulating us to think he's a nice guy.
I know.
And then coming back at the end and saying, shocker.
Here's what they would have to do, though. They would have to show us all the interstitials that they filmed. He's like, I got her. He would have to do that.
It would have to be like an alias reveal.
Exactly. Do I think the show could do that? Possibly.
If the show did that, I would be.
I will say, Garrett. Gobsmacked. If Garrett's, I don't think Garrett's as good of an actor to be able to do that.
He's no Colin.
No.
But I
Colin.
Don't. But I don't. I think Colin's a mastermind.
Oh yeah.
But
he's an asshole.
I don't trust him still.
Oh, I don't either.
Garrett said, he's like, that hurt. And I was like, I have no, you literally talked about dicking down other girls.
I actually think a lot of this is the reaction that he's getting to not being the golden boy in every single room.
I think it's a reaction because he got caught.
Exactly. But no, I'm saying in his life, he is the tall, blonde, beautiful white guy who is everyone's best friend, who the guy everyone wants to be friends with for the first time in his life. And how long?
Yeah.
He's not that. So that what you're seeing, the emotional reaction to that.
I agree. Agreed.
I think we're giving Garrett too much credit. I think he's upset because of that. I don't think he's upset because of.
Well, he says, how much can I take? And I'm like,
again,
I don't feel sorry for you.
He's a fucking snowflake.
Yeah. Don't feel sorry for you at all.
So, Nakia, y'all, she's still with OG Jared. And she's in the moment, she's like, I don't know if he's still being truthful. And then she's listening to the other guys.
Well, because y'all.
Who's Colin.
Colin has made it his mission. Colin knows
this is awful.
He knows he can manipulate OG Jared
into freaking
undermine
out.
Him and have him freak out in front of Nakia.
Yeah,
and he knows that will turn. Because see, Sarah saw through it. Sarah realized it was Chris trying to call out Josh.
Right.
She saw, but Nakia's not that worldwise.
Do you believe that Colin has actual feelings for Nakia?
Not at all.
Zero. Me too.
None.
Money.
He wants money. It's what he wants.
It's what I want.
So, but he said, he goes, basically all the guys, they're saying that it's...
They're all kind of ganging up.
He doesn't have trap. And even Colin's like, Greg, come up here. Because Greg is talking to Nakia. Then Nakia comes up.
They literally bring up everyone to humiliate.
You know, OG Jared said, it's a trap.
They're
all a bunch of losers. And everyone agrees with Colin. And Nakia's like, I don't know. All these guys are saying this. And I don't know if I'm here for the right reason.
I don't know. Everyone is saying something. What do I do?
And you know that Colin is completely cornering him because Colin never lets OG Jared speak. He keeps talking over him. He keeps saying,
"Y'all, this was
you don't
triggering.
Know that your father, you don't know her last name."
This was triggering for me because I hate to see anyone being bullied in that way.
How would they know their last name?
It was
totally bullying.
Yeah, but it's just the...
Colin said, you're not falling in love with her. You don't know her last name. You don't know anything about this woman. Meanwhile, don't forget, y'all, last episode in the douchebag game, Colin was accused of not knowing anything about Nakia either, but he's completely taking the focus off
so
of him.
So Nakia gets really upset. She's trying to keep them away from her. She calls Pterodactyl. And I said, Colin is doing his own one-act version of The Crucible right here.
Yeah.
Basically trying to call everybody out for dancing with the devil.
Yes, and CJ...
To make himself look better.
Yes, and they CJ and Sarah, and they're all like, we need to end this right now. And Colin's like, he's manipulating everyone in every single cottage. He goes to this cottage and talks to the guys. He goes to this cottage and talks to the guys. He's talking to all these different guys, and he's getting...
Question. Do you think that's true?
No.
I was... Could be either way for me, but I think...
I don't think OG Jared's that smart enough to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is really reprehensible to do to a human being.
OG Jared is a fuckboy, but I don't think he's a good fuckboy.
Colin's really bad.
Colin plays a long game. Y'all, Colin will steal your car.
Yeah.
And marry you and leave you in the night.
Yeah.
That's Colin.
So
he has to be on the show. Probably not going to happen after I just said that.
Yeah, I haven't responded to him. I don't want to have
busy.
Him on. I don't want to have him on.
I'd have him on if he was shirtless.
I don't want to
naked.
I don't want to take the space to do it.
Maybe he'll change his. Maybe he is changed man and we don't see it.
Maybe,
but
So
it just basically boils up, and then OG Jared, which he tries to say. The thing is OG Jared's so flustered. He's like, you're just saying this shit about me, but it's really about yourself. And it becomes kind of like you're a butthead. No, I'm a butthead. Yeah. Because OG Jared can't. Because this is the deal, y'all. Remember, Colin saw new Jared do this to OG Jared. So Colin knows it's going to work perfectly.
Yep.
Because he knows that when OG is Jared, when he gets flustered, he becomes a protein-taking brute.
And he
can't think.
And he also becomes a six-year-old.
Yes. Colin knows all this because he saw it happen.
Did you notice Nakia had the best quote of this episode that made me laugh? She's like, to hear that the guy you went on the most romantic date with ever was like this? She was talking about OG Jared. Who's going to help her?
No one.
Who's going to help Nakia?
A pregnancy and a baby that she raises alone because he leaves her.
Oh, yeah.
Keep taking that pill, honey.
Please.
Please. She's crying. She's really hurt by this. And so OG Jared's like, they all band together and they all won.
They all won.
Y'all, and it's the next day.
So dramatic.
And Nakia says, I think the guys were conspiring against OG Jared. I guarantee you. I bet you CJ and Sarah talked to her about that, and we didn't get that.
Yeah.
Because there's no way I believe Nakia came to that on her own. Because she just doesn't think that way. So it's elimination night, y'all, but instead the women are going to choose a top three men they can see a future with.
Yay.
Top three. Poodle and I love a top three.
So, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Especially three tops.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're not
this
choosing.
This dick feels too hard. This one feels too small. Oh, this one's just right.
But I'll take them all. Triple P me.
So they
y'all, when you fuck Poodle with three dicks, first he's like he's like little Mario on the first one, and then he grows bigger on the second one, and then the third one's like when he gets that star, ding 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 ding, and he just runs around just fucking everybody, ding 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 ding.
It's me, a Mario.
Fuck. We're going. We can't go into Mario World.
So, CJ.
So they're picking top three. So CJ chooses who? Poodle.
Sean, or as we say, John.
John. New Jared. New Jared. And
who was her eliminated person last time?
Yes. And
no one.
No one. So
this is interesting.
She says it's not fair to waste anyone's time because there's nobody else I'm really interested in.
That's fair. And it's also because she's kind of went through everyone else. And I think she has no chemistry with anyone else.
And again, they haven't had enough time to spend with guys. Yep. Meanwhile, Sarah picks Josh. Welcome.
Where did that come from?
She just needed to choose someone. And then she ends up choosing Garrett.
So it's only Josh and Garrett, you guys. Basically.
And then Nakia chooses Fernando Colin.
Who we haven't seen anything with him.
She chooses Colin and Greg. So yet Nakia said earlier, I think OG Jared was manipulated, but then she chooses Colin.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, because Nikki said, okay, Sarah and Nakia, I guess because CJ, she said, you can save one more person. And Sarah said, no, I don't need to save anyone. I'm good.
Yeah.
And Nakia said, I'll save OG Jared.
Of course she is.
So, y'all, Joe, all that's left.
Said, do you notice when she's like, he really, OG Jared really hurt me?
Yeah. How?
How?
How? So now you believe, like, you make no sense.
Yeah.
Jomar and Chris, F-boy, F-bye.
She's falling apart in this game.
She is.
Yeah.
Jomar and Chris are the F-boy, F-bye. Yeah. They leave. That's it. That's the show. Nothing else happened.
No, you bitch.
Nothing else happened. Oh, God.
The hero has been ramping up back at Limbro. He sees his chance to exit. He walks outside. Casey glances left. He glances right, glistening off his perfect Roman face. And he takes off on a run. He goes through the forest and gets picked up by a truck. God, I wish I was driving that truck. And he's like, I don't mind going to the forest for this girl. I got to get back to CJ. Do we believe it? I don't care.
Same.
Because it was really great, fun TV.
I want to run to you. But if I come on you.
So, who knows what's going to happen on episode 7?
Tell me, will you stay or will you run? Y'all, if you live in the Los Angeles area and you're a fuckboy and you want to run back to someone,
fuck me.
Run back to us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.